Welcome to the Beacon Church Podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Well, you can take a seat. 9 a.m., the one service of this week. Who's enjoying the 9 a.m.? Yes. Who enjoy their sleep in, normal 8 a.m.ers? I reckon we'll get a few 10 a.m.s in about 20 minutes. Walking and going, what's going on here, right? So it's so good. Hey, can we give it up for the band? First time round back in 2025. Man, it's so good. Happy New Year. Who had a bit? Who stayed up till midnight? Okay, right. So we've got some party animals in the house. Okay, good. Who went to bed at 7:30? Who didn't even make it at 7:30? Man, it's 5 p.m. and I thought, we're done here, okay? So, my name's Az. I'm the pastor here with my wife, Beck. You saw her up here just before. And if it is the first time to Beacon Church, hey, you're so welcome. We hope we can get to know you. And hope you had a great break. Hope you had, you know, an amazing time over Christmas and New Year's with your family and friends. Hopefully there's lots of laughs, lots of food. And now you're kicking back into the new year. And I've got a message for you today that I hope really sets you on course for this year, just knowing that God is with you. You know, God loves you. I don't know where you're at, but God loves you. He loves you and he wants to work with you. He wants to walk beside you. And we're going to have a look at that today. I know that some people, when we get to New Year's sort of, people go, who cares? It's just another day. Anyone got a friend like that? Don't point at them, okay? Because, you know, some people, it's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's the new year. It's just another day. The calendar, who cares? You know what actually matters to God? It actually matters to God. In fact, we know in Ecclesiastes 3, it talks about the seasons and the times. And I love this passage. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. It says there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. It says this, what gain has the worker for his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. What a great time, right? Go and eat and be merry, have joy. Who wants that for 2025? It's like, you're like, man, I'm on a green juice fast right now. Don't talk about. Who started their New Year's resolution of health? Come on, be honest. None of you. Okay, great. We got a church that went, nah, we're done with that. We just want to keep partying right through. That's fine. I just want to point this out. When it says in the scripture there's times and seasons, it makes us know that God makes no mistakes. And when he sets times and seasons in place and when he allows us to start something new, that's actually a really beautiful thing. It gives us a chance to reset a new season, that God's in that. He wants us to be able to go through these seasons, understand that he has placed you here on time for the right time to be part of what he wants to do. You're not here by mistake for 2025. You are here to actually co-work with God, to actually be part of his great plan. This is not a mistake that 2025 has begun and we've got new things ahead of us. Some of you might be like, I don't do New Year's resolutions or goals because that's pointless. I can start any time. Can I say, why not actually set into this year a goal and a vision? I think you should. I think you should use this opportunity to go and actually dream again and dream a new dream for this year. A new calendar year means it gives you a clean slate to begin again. Start something new, a chance to set some fresh vision. Understand this, without vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18, when there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but the one who keeps the law, blessed is he. In other words, you need a vision for this year and you need to start prophesying it out. prophecy is speaking it out and going, this is what's going to happen this year. God, I believe it's going to happen this year. You need a prophetic word in your life. You need to start looking at this year and going, God, what do I see 2025 like for my family? Which family members are coming back to Christ this year? What is going to happen this year with my finances, with my job, with my relationships? You need to start prophesying. If your family is, if you've got a broken marriage, you know it's not working, you start prophesying life in a place of death. You don't just go, well, I'll just do another year of that round the merry-go-round. You go, no, this year it's going to change and I'm going to prophesy it. You know, some of you are sitting here going, oh, I don't know if that'll work. No, it says without prophecy, without actually living with vision, a prophetic vision, you will perish. So you need to actually shift the dialogue and go, you know what, I'm going to start prophesying good things over my life. I'm going to start saying, you know what, God, you are good. Last year might have been bad, but this year we're believing that, God, you're going to move. I'm just so fired up because I think sometimes we just kind of, we go through the motions. I know for myself, I've gone through these years of just the motions. Another year, I don't know what I'll do this year. But can I just say, this year, I believe that God wants to work with you, alongside you. He wants to see, he'll help you see clearly the things he has for you. I don't know about you, but seeing clearly is really important, right? Like you want to be, who wants to be able to see clearly what God has for them? Right, you don't want to be caught up in the muddy mess of the year. You don't want to be like, I don't know which way to go. We want to see clearly what God has for us. And actually, that's what over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about seeing clearly in 2025. We want to have that clear vision. We want to know we're on the right path with God. We want to know at the end of this year, we can look back and go, hey, we nailed it because God was with us. He showed us which way to go and we walked in it. You know, I remember one of my family stories, you know, when like, I don't know if you've got family stories when, you know, of the kids when they were little and they did silly things and the parents always tell the stories over and over and over. I remember in my family, there's a story about my brother who went to the movies for the very first time, way back when. He's like older than me and he went to the movies for the first time with my mum. And apparently he was sitting there in the cinema and it was just mum and him and a bunch of old ladies were there apparently. And my brother, Joe Nathan, yes, that's his name, Joe Nathan, was sitting there. He's like, Mum, I can't see. Mom, I can't see. And all these old women apparently were moving around. Like, oh, sorry, sorry, this cute little kid. You know, sorry, we're moving. And he kept saying, Mom, I can't see. And Mom's like, what the... And so everyone's like trying to make a fuss over this little cute kid. And eventually my mom apparently said to Jonathan, why can't you see? He goes, I got my eyes closed. True story. So first thing to see clearly when it comes, open your eyes. You know, you need to have your eyes open to the things of God. Like, you can sit there, I'm in the dark. Open your eyes. Like, you know, I think about the story, I'd be like, oh, well, it was my brother, it wasn't me. All right. This year, I took my nephews to the movies twice, and both times I couldn't see, but that's because I fell asleep twice. Man, the movies are boring this year. Anyway, so, is it? Sonic 2 was trash. Anyway, so, I saw that with a nephew a few years ago. Thank God for the popcorn. Anyway, fresh vision, seeing clearly in 2025. We want to see clearly. You know, we want to actually set out with vision. I mean, first day, January 1st, I went out to Wellow Point for the first time to walk to King Island. Been here for 4 years, haven't done it. Now I've done it, I won't do it for another 4 years. But I love being on that walk. I had some friends come up from the Gold Coast. We said, we'll take the kids out. We told them it was Moana's Island. They were stoked until there was no Moana. But there was like thousands of people like ants across back and forth, all in their active wear they got for Christmas. You can just see, it was they were all going, I'm doing this every day. They're not. In fact, New Year's resolutions, they say die off 1 week in. 1 week in, it's dead, okay? 50% of New Year's resolutions, they're dead by January 31. It's all over, okay? But I hope we're a church that sets out on vision and has like a goal in our heart when it comes to things of God and our family and what we have. And we actually get to the end of 2025. We didn't give up. We kept on striving. We actually saw God move. And so, you know, I just want to say this, that, you know, get out there and set some vision. Husbands, wives, spouse, sit down with your spouse and say, what do we see for this year? Actually set some goals and then set some small, achievable things to get there and stick at it. Instead of, you know, saying we're going to become millionaires and you haven't got a dollar in your bank account, just go, hey, we actually want to get on top of our finances this year and not have credit card debt.
Start with the small things. Start actually working on the things you can achieve and celebrate the wins. Have those victorious moments, like Beck said, house of victory. Victories happen when you set small goals and you just achieve and go, man, we're victorious, let's celebrate. And actually thank God for getting us where we're at. As I was, you know, taking some time, I've got a couple of little thoughts on where I believe God wants to take us as Beacon Church in 2025. After doing the Christmas thing and having about a week or two break, it was really nice. And thank you so much for letting us head off. And thanks, Josiah and Bella, for looking after the Prince of Peace service. But after that time, I was able to just sit and reflect again and spend some time with God. Go, God, what is it that you want to say to Beacon Church in 2025? Like, what is it you have for next year, this new season, this new vision, this fresh thing, this new thing that's coming? And I actually had my eyes open to a scripture. It's very, very it's like a very famous scripture, and I want to have a look at it real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 18, if you've got your Bible. Hey, in 2025, bring your Bible to church. There's a new idea. We'll put it on the screen anyway. But, you know, it's something really powerful about writing in your Bible, scribbling all over it, highlighting it, you know, and having that there. You know, the reason I was reminded of that actually by my nephew, who picked up a Bible over Christmas and go, Uncle Les, why has this Bible got all this highlighter in it? And I said, well, that's where God's spoken to me over the year. And he goes, what do you mean? You know, it's like this conversation. It just reminds us of what God's saying, and date those things and write them down and bring your Bible and get involved with that. It says this, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. It's a very famous passage, and I've read it a million times, and it's a great passage. But actually, I opened my Bible actually on my YouVersion app and had a different version pop up. Like, I don't even know why I had changed my version to the GNB UK. And I was like, what the heck is that, right? It is the Great News Britain UK version, okay? The good news, sorry, not the great news, the great Britain news, no. The good news, Britain, UK version. But this is what it says. It's like just a bit of a paraphrase passage. It just kind of stood out to me. It said this, we are ruled by the love of Christ. Now that we recognize that one man died for everyone, which means that we all share in his death, he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but only for him who died and was raised to life for their sake. No longer then do we judge anyone by human standards. If at one time we judged Christ according to human standards, we no longer do so. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is done by God who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. Let me just let that little bit at the end just sink in for a bit. Christ changed us from his enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. I don't know why, but stumbling across that passage was just like a profound light bulb moment. I'm a friend of God. Like, I knew it, and we all probably know it, and we hear it. But have you ever thought about that? That God wants to be your best friend. Like, literally, he was your enemy once, but through his death and resurrection, he made it possible for you to be best friends. And I want to ask you this simple question. If you made God your best friend, actually treated Jesus like your best friend in 2025, how would that change your world? Like, he's your best mate, he's your greatest ally, he's got your back, and every day you just want to hang out with him because he's your best mate. He wants to be in relationship, in friendship with you. In fact, Jesus, when he had his disciples on earth, he has a moment where he wants to declare it. He says it in John 15:15. After spending all his time with these boys, he says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus in 2025 wants to be your best mate. Like, he actually wants to be your friend. And that might change your perspective on how you perceive God. You might still have God as a judge up there swinging a giant stick, beating you when you get out of line. But if you shift your lens and actually go, Jesus is my best mate. He wants to be my friend. He wants to treat me like a best mate, right? He wants to have good banter with me, all right? He wants to talk to me. I kind of think of this as like, you know, like, I've been going riding in the mornings with a few different guys. Kevy Holden. I go riding with Kev Holden and the banter. My gosh, I laugh every morning. And I think of like friendship like that when it comes to Jesus. He wants that in 2025 with you. He doesn't want to be distant. He wants to be in relationship and connecting with you, always speaking. When Jesus said to his disciples, you're no longer servants, you're now friends, understand, as we decide to be his disciples, we choose to follow him, we also gain the same access to what Jesus said to them. Jesus makes it known to his disciples that he will withhold no secrets that the Father shares with him. And that's a powerful thought for us. That everything in the supernatural that is hidden, Jesus wants to share with us because he can. If God reveals it to him, he can reveal it to us because we are his friends. We're actually his friends. He wants to reveal to you things, the things that are hidden, because he wants to be your friend. And that's what friends do. And he can make it possible when we decide to follow him with everything we have. Truly, this year, as you make Jesus your friend, you'll want to spend time with him. You will just open your Bible. You'll read it because you want to be in his presence. You want to know what God has to say. And I know that the Psalm 119, 105 will become true to you. That his word will be a light unto your feet and a light unto your path. A lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I've been feeling this year that I don't want a church of people that compartmentalize their faith on a Sunday. You come here for 1.5 hour blocks and then you just go out and you forget about your best mate. Like, I spent some time with him. That was great. I had a coffee and now we'll see each other next week. Long distance friendship. Like, we'll catch up once in a while. I might see you at Easter. But God's like, no, that's not a friendship. That's just like picking up on where we left off. That's good. He'll do that. But a close friendship, a daily friendship, man, that is something that I desire. I want to know God speaking to me daily. And God's character, he wants to be in relationship with us. I mean, we see in the Garden of Eden, right in Genesis 3, you see God, every afternoon he came down, walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. What did he do? He walked with them, he talked with them. He was having a good laugh with his creation. He had this relationship that he just wanted to be in their presence. And Adam and Eve, I mean, they had this incredible connection with God, their creator. And I want you to think about that. God, the creator of the entire universe that holds everything in place, holds it all together, wants to be your friend. Still wants to do the same thing. In fact, God loved walking with Adam and Eve. And it says that Jesus, well, we know that Jesus was in the garden because he had feet, right? So, you know, right there, God's a spiritual being. He's a Trinity. Think about it. So he walked with them. Understand that Jesus hasn't changed. He loves walking with people. He loves it. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday and today forever, day and forever. In fact, I want to have a look at a passage of scripture where we see the first walk of Jesus after he's risen from the dead, okay? The first walk he goes on, the first 10,000 steps for the year, okay? He's getting his steps up. And we're going to look at Luke 24 today about the story of when he's just risen. It says this, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, and the Mary, mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because these words seemed to be to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away wondering to himself what had happened. So here's Jesus. He's just risen from the dead. They've heard that he's risen from the dead. People are like, this is ridiculous. It can't possibly happen. Peter's run to the tomb. He's no body. And then directly after, we find that two of the apostles, they're walking to a town called Emmaus. Says this. Now that same day, this is on the Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. I looked that up, it's about 15,000 steps, not 10,000, just want to get theologically right, okay? So, to start the year. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken, all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scripture concerning himself. I love that. He's just like, hey, all your scriptures, everything, what's wrong with you? Have you read this stuff? Do you know this? As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them once he had broken bread. What an amazing story. Who would love that moment, right? I just love how Jesus breaks bread. They go, "Oh, it's Jesus." He just disappears. They're sitting there with a loaf of bread. Nothing to see here. This is amazing. It's amazing because it shows us the character of who Jesus is and his longing to be with his friends. Who's an extrovert who missed their friends over the Christmas break? Josiah, right? You went away with Bella. You had some great time. You came back, what, New Year's Eve? How soon did you see your friends? Straight away. Just got to see your friends, right? Those people like, "Oh, I'm just hanging. I love you, babe, but I got to see my friends," right? There's this sense that Jesus, he's just died. He's overcome sin and death once and for all. He's just literally the whole unit, everything's changed now. And Jesus, "I've got to see my friends. I got to see my friends." The very first thing that he does, he literally finds a couple of his mates on a road and he starts to talk to them. He goes on a walk with his creation again. This is the first time that God walks with his creation again without sin in the way. He's returned to, this is like his favorite thing that he did in Eden. And now he gets to do it again. Nothing separating him and the boys. And he gets to walk and talk with them, have a laugh with them. He has dialogue with them. Jesus, I love, as soon as he's risen, he goes in pursuit of his best mates. He loves his friends and he spends time with them straight away. He wanted to spend time with them. I also love that he chose the two disciples. They say that Peter was Simon Peter. I mean, this is the guy that, you know, rejected him and denied him three times. Jesus doesn't just go to the disciples that, you know, were the good ones that made it. He went, "I'm going to go find the one that stuffed up and let him know we're all good. We're mates. We're all good. It's going to be okay. I forgive you. It's going to be okay." So I was reading this story. I just had so much revelation of just how much Jesus wants to spend time with us. And my first prayer in 2025 for all of us at Beacon is that we want to have time with him, that we want to be friends with Jesus. I hope the revelation that God loves you and wants to be your friend just drops today. That you walk away here and go, God genuinely wants to be my friend. Like, he doesn't just want to be some deity, religious icon. He wants to be my friend. He wants to spend time with me. The second revelation I had a look at these two boys as they were walking to Emmaus. The revelation for me was that Jesus could have chosen one of two groups to first appear to. He could have gone to the group of 11 that were in mourning, who were still suffering from the pain of their savior, their hero, dying 3 days earlier. Like they've lost all hope. They are depressed, hanging out together. Now what? They're wondering if the Romans are going to kill them too. They're probably going through a whole bunch of emotion, thinking, well, you know, we're just going to hang out together. We've got to figure this out. They're doing nothing except they're in mourning in a place of just dejection and rejection and wondering what the heck's going on. But there's two disciples that decide, we can't change what's happened. Let's get moving. Let's get moving. Understand that these disciples had a thing to do that day and they got moving. They went, I got a goal, I got a vision. We have to go to Emmaus. Let's get moving. Let's not sit in our pity. Let's get moving. Let's keep moving forward because, you know what? We can't do anything about what's happened, but we can move forward. And they started on the road to Emmaus. I was trying to figure out what happened in Emmaus, what Emmaus was all about. There's a little town and they say in Emmaus there were actually some hot springs that were known for healing powers, for natural healing powers. And maybe they went there going, we're going to have a spa day because I can't handle this anymore. I just need to go and relax. Or maybe they genuinely thought in Emmaus they could spend some time there. Maybe they were just doing an errand. But we don't know that, except we know that they had a goal and they had to go to Emmaus that day. And Jesus partners with those that get walking, that get moving. Jesus appears and starts to walk alongside those that start moving. And I was thinking about 2024. I know a lot of you had some terrible years. You lost loved ones. There was sickness, there was financial worries, there was relationship breakdown, there was a whole bunch of stuff. And you can get to the end of 2024 and you can find yourself in such pain and suffering that when it comes to 2025, you're still just stagnant and you're not moving because you go, I don't want to take on another year. But understand that God wants to walk with you and get you moving again. You need to have a vision and a goal again. Don't go, well, it didn't work last year. You need to start walking towards something. Start actually stepping out and Jesus will walk right beside you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. And I just think so many of us, as we go into 2025, you have not set a vision. How do you set a vision, John? Take some time out today. Write it down. God, what do you want for me this year? I know you're looking for a job. I'm praying for a job for you, John. Write it down. That's cool, but that's, I mean, practically, some of us probably are going, how do I get a vision? I don't know. Start to write some things down. God, this is what I'd love to see happen in my family this year. Have it on you, put it on your fridge. Declare it every day. Prophesy it every day. That's going to happen this year. Prophesy. Start writing. Jesus walks with these guys. I also love that in this story, that it highlights something really powerful that the Proverbs say. And it says this in Proverbs 19, 21 to 23. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Here's two disciples, two apostles. We're off to Emmaus. Jesus comes in, starts having a chat, reveals to them all the scriptures over a couple of hours. They're like, this guy's amazing. They sit down, have dinner. He breaks bread. They go, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. And then they go, we need to go back to Jerusalem. So they walk another 15,000 steps back. 30,000 steps that you might go, what a waste of time. If they didn't start walking, nothing would have happened. They wouldn't have had this experience. Just start walking. Head towards something. Understand that you start walking towards something. Some people are, I don't know which way to go in 2025. There's so many options. I don't know. Is it this job? Is it this job? Is it this career? Is it this place to live? Is it all? Just start making some decisions and allow Jesus to walk beside you. And while you're making decisions, keep conversing and allow him to reveal to you what is right. You'll land where you need to be when you've got Jesus beside you. You know, I remember years ago, I had a mate who was in the AFL and his contract was up and three clubs offered him the same contract that year. Three clubs. They said, we'll give you 2 years. This is how much money. The same contract, the same money for every club. He called me, he goes, Az, I hate this because I can't make a decision. And what if I get this wrong? What if I get it wrong? What if I choose the wrong club and I'm out of God's will and everything gets... And he was so overwhelmed with this anxiety and fear of what if I make a mistake? And I'm like, Zach, that's God's kindness. He trusts you to make decisions. He allows you to have a free will to step out and do something. And when you step out, as long as he's beside you, as long as you're in conversation with him, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's not like, wrong club, I'm over here. I'm at the Gold Coast Suns. They really need my help. (Laughter) But he made a decision, and I think just the release of the pressure of a new year comes down to just take a step out. Just step out and trust Jesus. He will reveal to you what needs to be revealed. Just be in conversation with him. Keep talking to him. Keep praying. And God blessed him in that career when he went to that club for the couple of years. God would have blessed him in another club too. Because his heart was to follow God. He put God first, and it's going to be okay. When you put God first and when you walk with Jesus in 2025. Walk with Jesus in 2025. Get moving. When he broke the bread, that's when the revelation came. This is Jesus. A reminder of when Jesus did that Last Supper moment. Well, it's Jesus. Oof, the revelation hit. And I love in the scripture it says this, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Their hearts were burning because they knew there was something so unique about this conversation. There was something supernatural about this conversation. Who is this guy, this random dude that joined us for a walk? And when it was revealed to the man, their hearts, they went, it makes sense now. I know that Jesus is who he said he was. I know he's risen from the dead. I know he's alive. I know that everything he said is true. And it was revealed to them in that moment, their hearts were burning, knowing the truth of who Jesus was. And their instant response to after that was, oh, well, we'll go to sleep and wake up tomorrow and go back to Jerusalem because it is almost, and now they're like, let's get walking. They have to tell people about who Jesus is because they know that he is who he said he was. And I was thinking this year, Beacon, imagine if we were a church. It's all right, mate. Imagine, Beacon, if that's a church, imagine is when we're around people. This year, as we start sharing our own testimonies of God's goodness, imagine if anyone who came in contact with you and I was like, something's burning within me. I know that they have the truth. I know that that Jesus is who he said he was. I need to go to church. Because you had that revelation in your own life. My heart is that we'll share Jesus with the Redlands. Redlands for Christ. I want to see more people saved this year. I want people to have a revelation of who Jesus is. As we head into 2025, I want us to remember that Jesus is our friend. He's your friend. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be in a relationship. He wants to walk with you. Just get walking. And finally, we're going to take communion. Okay, and if we've got the emblems, if we can bring them forward, guys. And as we take these emblems, and maybe you've never taken communion before, This is the reminder. This is the moment that these guys had. When the bread was broken, it all revealed to them, oh yeah, Jesus said this. My body's going to be broken. My blood's going to be poured out for you. Remember this. It's because of this moment we can remember that we were enemies of God once. You and I were enemies of God once. We're his enemy, and he made a way for us to be his friends. Through his death and resurrection, it's possible. Our sin is no more. Because of his broken body and blood, he made a way for us to be set free from our sin. And he made a way for us to be reconciled as friends. In fact, as the emblems come out, I just want to just make this available to anyone sitting here. If you know, you just know, you're like, I feel like I'm an enemy of God. I feel like everything I'm doing, I'm like, oh man, if I met Jesus right now, it wouldn't be good, right? But Jesus loves you. And he wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a fresh start in 2025. He wants to wash the slate clean. He wants to make you white as snow. He wants to give you a fresh start. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry. It's called repentance. Jesus, I'm sorry of the mess I've made in my life. I want to follow you. I want to be your friend in 2025. I want to know you. And maybe that's you here right now today, and you're thinking that. In your heart, you know. In your heart, you're even seeing these emblems come out, go, oh, I couldn't possibly take that. Well, you can today, actually, and you can take it with confidence, knowing that God loves you. But first and foremost, you just have to get right with God. And so in this moment, don't be ashamed of this or don't be afraid of this. If you want me to pray for you really quickly, I just want you just to wave your hand at me just real quick. Just go, yeah, man, that's great. So good, dude. So good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah, over here, guys. Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, down the front. You just want to get right with God, start fresh. I want to be friends with God again. You know, I want to get my life back on track. Is there anyone else? Just give me a wave. So I know across the back there. It's amazing, mate. You just want to get right with God, be friends with God. God wants to be your friend. He wants to spend time with you this year in 2025. He's going to walk beside you. Is there anyone else who's just like, yep, today, I'm sorry, God. I want to be back and I want to be back on track. Yeah, Vic, I love it. Just like, I want to be friends with God. I want to know I'm a friend of his. He's a friend of yours. He's made a way for that friendship to occur. Anyone else here today? It's like, you know, this year, 2025. Yeah, sweet, man. I just want to be that friend. I want to know him as my friend. Is there anyone else? Yeah, right across there. Awesome, man. It's just this heart. God loves you, man. He wants to be your friend in 2025. Your best mate. He doesn't want to be a religious thing. He wants to be your friend. And he wants you to be able to lead well because you know he's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's for you. I don't know if you ever, he's for you. He wants you to win. You're victorious in Christ. Is there anyone else who just wants me to pray across this? Yeah, man, it's awesome. Anyone else? There's people all over here. I love that we're eyes open. We're like, oh, we're not doing eyes shut here. I just want to know Jesus in 2025. Like, it's very, very clear and very simple that God wants to be your friend. Is there anyone else? So I want to pray with you real quick. Yeah, over here. Amazing. Anyone else? Man, some people just like, yeah, at the back. Yes, amazing. Yep, right in the center. See you. Hey, you want to know his friendship. I pray that God's friendship is so real for you this year. His friendship. Anyone else? Man, there's just hands everywhere. Well, you know what? We're going to pray. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to pray. And in this moment as we pray, I want you to hold that cup that represents the blood of Jesus that washed you clean, that makes it possible to convert you from an enemy to a friend. That bread, when you eat the bread, it represents God, Jesus' body broken for you. In his brokenness, he heals us. There's healing in this room right now. So Jesus, right now, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you for allowing your body to be broken on that cross, your blood to be poured out so that we can be reconciled to you, that we're not being called servants and we're not some kind of distant figure, but you call us friends and that we can access you all of 2025. We can walk, we can talk with you. We can be confident you'll show us which way to go in this year. God, give us fresh vision for what you have for us this year. Give us goals. Show us a different way, your way in 2025. God, I pray for each and every person to put up their hand, a place of repentance in their heart, knowing that they're far away from you. They know that their sin is holding them down. Set them free in Jesus' name. Set them free of their sin. Set them on a new course. Wash them clean. We thank you for what you did, allowing us to be your friends. God, I pray for our church this year that we will be people that go on the journey with you, that walk with you every day, not just at church on Sundays. That we would open your word, that we would read your word, that you would reveal to us daily who you are, your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.